All right, let's get started. The time is now 10:02. This is the Board of Government, sorry, the Board of Ethics and Government Accountability. My name is Steve Collier. We have Carol Schwartz and Nova Hutchins here.
So moved.
We have a motion. It's been properly seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Let's move forward with the report from the Director of Open Government.
Thank you, Chairman Collier. The first matter on the Open Government report is the Yates litigation. The status hearing scheduled for May 26, 2017 has been continued until June 9, 2017 at 10:30 a.m. Plaintiff's cross motion for summary judgment and defendant's motion to dismiss or any alternative for summary judgment remain pending. Now, as the board is aware, the enforcement action has been discussed numerous times since the matter was filed in D.C. Superior Court on October 5th of last year. In fact, the Office of Open Government properly noticed an agendized discussion of the matter of the Office of Open Government v. Yates in the public portion of the following meetings on October 6, 2016, November 3, 2016, December 6, 2016, January 5, 2017, February 9, 2017, and May 4, 2017. Then Chairman Spagnoletti verbally inquired about the status of the case during the April 27th meeting. The OOG made abundantly clear that it was represented by pro bono counsel in all stages of the litigation, beyond the filing of the temporary restraining order and the preliminary injunction that was filed on October 5th in 2016. The retention of pro bono counsel was done so upon the recommendation of Chairman Spagnoletti to eliminate any conflict of interest as OOG brought the action, but would also be a witness in the case. On October 27, 2016, the OOG received authorization from the Director of the Office of Partnerships and Grants for the donation of legal services from Levine, Sullivan, Koch, and Schultz, LLP. The authorization process included the submission of a donation agreement and conflicts check by the district. Additionally, the firm conducted its own conflicts check prior to signing the donation pro bono agreement. This was done so in compliance with Mayor's Order 2015-001. On May 25, 2017, Director Sylvan informed the Office of Open Government that it was in violation of Mayor's Order 2008-9, requiring the OOG to seek authorization from the Office of the Attorney General to retain pro bono counsel. That order directs that in the case of pro bono services, the legal counsel division of OAG, in consultation with the outside firm or lawyer, shall prepare a donation retainer agreement for legal services for signature by the firm and the attorney. The OOG was unaware of the Mayor's Order 2008-9 and was operating under the understanding that it was in full compliance with policy and practice by receiving clearance from the Office of Partnerships and Grants, as failure to receive approval by that agency may constitute a violation of the district's ethics rules and personnel regulations. I have contacted OAG Ethics Officer Elaine Block and provided her with all contact information for pro bono counsel representing the Office of Open Government. We have not yet received a determination from the OAG. Are there any questions about this particular matter and compliance? Okay.
No questions.
Okay, sure. Informal advice and advisory opinions. Since the last board meeting, the OOG issued two legal opinions on the following. One, whether a FOIA request that provides an individual's name whose email box is to be searched and a specific date range for the search constitutes a reasonable description of public records sought under FOIA. And we will issue today an opinion on whether the Board of Zoning failed to properly notice a hearing and took official action in violation of the Open Meetings Act. In my absence, it seems that Acting Director Barton was slammed. The OOG responded to 41 requests for informal legal advice on the Open Meetings Act and FOIA, 17 of which were for technical assistance. So I thank him for his steadfastness because I know it wasn't easy. Trainings. The OOG conducted two Open Meetings Act trainings. one combined training with the Alcoholic Beverage Regulation Administration and the second with the Mayor's Advisory Commission on Child Abuse and Neglect. In its efforts to expand its reach and promote greater civic engagement, the OOG made the second of what we hope will be many grassroots community group presentations on the Freedom of Information Act and the Open Meetings Act. The April 24th presentation was before the Gateway Community Association at their monthly meeting. The OOG was very well received, and as a result of that informative presentation, we were invited to attend a Ward 5 ANC meeting later in the month to make a similar presentation. Finally, on the budget, 2017, the Budget Committee markup, the Committee on the Judiciary and Public Safety voted to include in the Budget Support Act language that would give the Office of Open Government a separate budget authority. The Office of Open Government Establishment Amendment Act of 2016, which would establish the OOG as an independent office with its own board, remains pending in committee for scheduling of a hearing date. The fiscal year 2018 Budget Support Act of 2017 was passed on the consent agenda on May 30th, with no changes to the OOG receiving a separate budget authority. And that concludes our update.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Any communication with Chairman Allen or anyone about scheduling of a hearing?
Not yet. It's my intention to reach out to his staff by the end of this week. They knew that I was out on leave, so I'll reach out to them by tomorrow to inquire about status. Now, they're about to go on summer recess, so I'm sure that if there's a hearing scheduled, it won't be until September, October at best.
And Mr. Barton, thank you for filling in.
Welcome. And welcome back.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll move to the director.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and thank you again for agreeing to move the meeting up to 10 a.m. To accommodate our schedules. Okay, so we'll go over the stats first. Investigations opened. last month we opened 11. Which was a banner month, and this month we opened 8 more. That's significantly more than the 3 we did in March. We were able to close only 3 investigations, which means we're way up to 18 open investigations, which is about 3 higher than I like to be. We still have about 23 stayed. That's up from 22 the previous month. That one additional case that was stayed is one that we received from an agency but may have criminal elements to it. And so we are standing down for just a very short time until those decisions are made. Okay, item B, the publication and reporting obligations. We have no updates in this area except to say that I just received word a little while ago that the BEGA website has been launched. And it is live as of this morning. So we're reviewing it now. We'll be working out any bugs. But it's virtually the same as the one we had before, which was part of the reason why it took so long to get it up and running, is because Okto wasn't used to that format and they had trouble adapting it to its servers. But in the end, I think it's all worked out well. Okay, item C. Trainings and outreach attended by staff. I had the pleasure of appearing on a panel with the Attorney General and a representative of the council on the topic of campaign finance reform in the district, which was hosted by the Ward 3 Democrats. It was at the UDC Law School. Originally, former Chairman Spagnoletti had been asked to attend, and of course the Attorney General and council member Silverman. And so when Chairman Spagnoletti had a conflict, they asked me to step in, and I didn't know too much about campaign finance reform, but I was happy to do it. But when I got there, I was informed that they were starting, except that the Attorney General was stuck behind a car accident and Councilmember Silverman was sick. So I was the panel for about a minute until a representative showed up and the Attorney General arrived fashionably late. But it went very well. There were 6 bills that we discussed, and it was really well attended, both by the media and by the Ward 3 Dems. So I think in the end, Should we wait for a second until it's reconnected? No, but him? All right. So I'll just keep on. In the end, you know, our position was, and this was the first time that the Attorney General floated publicly the idea of bringing the responsibilities of the Office of Campaign Finance under the rubric of BEGA. It received mixed reviews. Some folks thought it was a good idea. I was personally flattered because it showed that, the Attorney General's reasoning was that we're doing such a good job with what we do that we must be able to do a good job with anything else they put under us as well. I think I made a point to say, don't even think about it without the appropriate resources. And I think that was well taken. But, it's always flattering to hear that kind of stuff. So I wanted you guys to know that. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What was you said there were mixed reviews?
Yeah, Dorothy Brazil thought it was a very bad idea.
Okay, but that was there other mixed
Yeah, others
reviews?
Thought it was a good idea.
So when you say it was mixed reviews, it was one
good and bad.
But the one person said no.
Right. And she actually made
others,
she made a pretty decent point, though. She
no,
said,
I know
she said,
a lot, though.
You know, listen, you know, just because an agency is doing well doesn't mean that they should assume responsibilities for an agency that might not be doing too well. And why don't you fix the agency instead?
But that was the only nay.
Yes.
To that. I was
I
just
recall.
Interesting to hear what the others were, if there were others.
Yeah, generally the audience, you know, nodded and thought that it was, you know,
okay.
Didn't argue with the Attorney General.
Well, I'm sure glad you put, we don't even consider it without the resources. I mean,
I
have a very small staff doing a very good job. I can't imagine it being able to do any more.
I think the term of art that I used at the moment was yikes. All right.
Let me just interject on that point and remind the board that last fall, the board took a position in the form of a letter opposing legislation that, among other things, would move OCF to BEGA. And one of the principal objections was the lack of resources. So the board's on public record of being opposed to it, at least in with no adequate resources.
Yep. All right. General Counsel Brian Flowers attended a seminar on essential supervisory skills offered in conjunction with the Office of the Attorney General. Trainings conducted by the staff. We did 12, which is one more than the 11 we conducted last month. The 12 trainings include 2 new employee orientations and MSS trainings, 1 general board and commission training, a training session for accepted service employees sponsored by the Mayor's Office of Talent and Appointments, 2 for managers of the Department of Recreation, 1 each for the Alcohol Beverage Control Board members and dispatchers at the Office of Unified Communications. I also met with the deputy mayor to provide her with a personalized ethics training the other day. Item D, advisory opinions and advice, informal advice. We did 66 since the last meeting, slightly up from the 61 the previous month. The comment period on the proposed sua sponte advisory opinion on the ethical standards that apply to ANC commissioners was extended. We did it by notice, published in the D.C. Register, at the request of an ANC commission and the Office of ANCs until June 21, 2017. We have received at least 1 set of comments on the proposed opinion. Personally, I haven't read them yet, but they're coming in, and that's good. We want that. Item E, on the ethics legislation, the Comprehensive Code of Conduct. I just don't have anything to report since the last board meeting on this. Everyone at the council has just been overly consumed with the budget. And at this point, as Director Hughes said, chances for any meaningful discussion on it are running out because the council's going on recess, so we may be looking at their reconvening in September.
Can I comment on this? I mean, I know it's been now several years.
Yeah.
Is there any way we could send our new chair and a delegation over maybe before the recess to talk to the chair of the committee? about the length of time it has taken. I know he wouldn't be responsible for it because he's the new chair.
Right.
But kind of talk about the history and how important this is.
Sure.
And that we hope they will tackle it as soon as they get back. Try to get a commitment that they start tackling it in the fall as soon as they come back from recess in September. Because I think we've been patient long enough, and I think maybe doing it the same way, it's not exactly working. You kind of get the same results, which has been nothing. So maybe with our chair, and I would certainly be willing to go as well, and I'm sure other board members might be willing, that we just sit down and talk turkey and say how important this is and that we've been very patient, and that we'll start making more noise if it's not done soon.
Okay. Everybody agree to that? We can make an appointment. So we'll work with you guys to make an appointment. All right. On the rulemaking, item F, the final rulemaking that you approved at the last meeting, clarifying our authority to impose late fees on a confidential filer who fails to timely file a true, accurate, and fully completed financial disclosure statement, was sent for publication and will become effective upon publication in the DC Register. Is that correct? Oh, can you sign it, please? Again, just so everybody recalls, this clarifies the existing rules so that somebody who files a financial disclosure statement that leaves a question unanswered I've always taken the position that they're susceptible to the fines, but this clarifies that they are certainly susceptible to the fines because it's not a full and complete financial disclosure statement. It's not an issue with the electronic system because you can't move on to the next question until you fill out the previous one, but it is an issue with the confidential paper forms because they may just leave one blank. Okay, thank you very much for that. Item G on the budget, as you can see from the Dropbox, a follow-up meeting of the Committee on the Judiciary and Public Safety was held on May 18th to consider a vote on its report and recommendations on the fiscal year 2018 budget for the agencies under its purview. I'm very happy to report that our request for additional administrative support was granted, and we received not one, but two additional full-time employees with an increase in personal service funds of $125,000 to pay for them. We will also be receiving a $50,000 one-time boost in NPS funds to pay for upgrades and maintenance to the e-filing system for 2018. But hold everything, because speaking of the e-filing system, I am very pleased that the mayor has made good on her promise to identify non-personal service funds to replace our antiquated e-filing system immediately, so that we don't have to wait until the new fiscal year in October to get started. In fact, $250,000 was uploaded to our budget yesterday, and we will be commencing work with Octo in the next week. So very pleased, very happy to... Perhaps. So this is all good news, but we're now at a point where we are physically limited by our facilities and will need our boardroom for the additional FTEs by October 1. Perhaps we can inquire with Ms. Hughes the status of her search for separate office space for the Office of Open Government.
We have no funding to move. We requested funding from the mayor's office. But we have no funding whatsoever to move, nor has the mayor's office responded to our repeated requests to find additional office space. So if the board would like to intervene, I'm more than welcome that, but I am repeatedly told that there's no place for us to go.
All right, item H, staffing. I'm pleased to report that we have made an offer to a very well-qualified individual from a top 10 accounting firm to fill the vacant auditor position, and he will be joining the Bega team on June 12th. Not this Monday, but the following Monday. Item I, lobbyist financial disclosure matters. we just broke the finish line on May 15th for the deadline, and as of today, approximately 3,058 public financial disclosure statements have been filed via our e-filing system, being held together by Haywire and Bubblegum. Approximately 382 designated employees have not yet filed. That's actually not bad, considering where we were last year at the same time. The list of filers and non-filers will be published in the D.C. Register on June 16, 2017. And we have done a good job, and kudos to the staff, in maintaining a 24-hour response time for all FDS inquiries and questions. You may recall that last year, two FDS public filers challenged their designations and requested a waiver of the FDS filing requirement. After the board denied their waiver requests, the employees filed appeals in D.C. Superior Court. The Attorney General's Office, who is handling these appeals for us, informed us that one of the employees failed to file a pleading as directed by the court. As a result, the Attorney General moved to dismiss that appeal. A status hearing is scheduled in that matter for July 21st. The other employee filed the appropriate pleadings, and OAG is preparing its response. There's a status hearing in that matter set for August 18th, and we will continue to provide you with updates as they occur. Confidential financial disclosure statement status. Yesterday, we sent out an email to all ethics counselors reminding them of today's confidential review report deadline. As of today, approximately 52 employees are still non-compliant with their 2016 confidential financial disclosure statement requirements. We have been working to notify non-compliant designated filers and prompt them to file. Of the 52, 35 are still current DC employees, 16 are former employees, and one is on extended leave. We'll use our resources to focus on enforcement for the current district employees, since it will be difficult to collect a fine from those who are no longer employed by the district. We are now ready to move forward to fine collection, and have prepared a fine notification letter to be sent to non-compliant employees. The letter will be distributed via email to all the employees' work email addresses and hard copies sent to their home addresses. At the end of the month, we will request a paycheck garnishment in the fine amount of $300, since we're way past the 30 days for all employees who are still non-compliant and have not paid the fine. On lobbyists, we are approaching the activity reporting season. In mid-June, we will begin sending reminder notifications to all registered lobbyists regarding the July 10, 2017 activity report filing deadline. We intend to ramp up those reminders just so we become so annoying they have no choice but to file these. Okay. Under item J, non-confidential investigations, I have nothing at the moment to update you on. And that concludes the public portion, at least for now, of my report.
Mr. Syndrom, do you have something to say?
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Mr. Syndrom.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
You sound well. Councilwoman Schwartz, how are you, commissioners? If I could make a request, you know, the time was changed for today, and it just so happened I called when I did. If I could be alerted when you all know the time change, that would be helpful. And also, if there could be an agenda sent to me in advance of the meeting, that would be helpful as well. As I heard, and I was patched in kind of midway through the meeting there, as I heard the report given, Office of Campaign Finance, I think it's an excellent idea, that BIGA take the reign. Case in point, the Brandon Todd debacle, $100,000 that was buried on a conifer, the fresh green pact with the mayor and so on. When the cat's away, the mice will play. And there is no oversight right now with Office Campaign Finance. And I think BIGA stepping in and overseeing, you know, can be nothing more than a proactive step in the right direction. So that needs and should happen, because OCF is totally out of control. ANC oversight. Again, BIGA has been doing, you know, splendid across the board. Don't want to spread ourselves too thin, but ANC clearly needs oversight as well. Councilwoman Schwartz, I want to commend you. It's an excellent idea sending the entourage to the council. Yep, it's budget, you know, numbers crunching, but to send a delegation to the judiciary chair, and I would also include the chair of the council, Philip Heath Mendelson, and the pro tem, McDuffie. Get him on board as well. I think the delegation to those three, the triumvirate, I think will get some inroads. You spoke about space, and this is just a thought. The Daly building currently, which houses MPD, I mean, it's deplorable, reprehensible. Bureau of Traffic Adjudication relocated LaFont Plaza. That building needs to be raised with the quickness. Once it is, you've got a lot of space, a lot of room. And I'm thinking that if we had a judiciary center, not unlike Arlington County, right there, right? And it's right there centrally located, because if you had the D.C. jail there and then office spaces for the district to include but not limited to BIGA, that would be win-win. You're right there, judiciary, centrally located. And again, the jail would be centrally located between super court and the federal court. And it would, if it were devised, you know, that the space were adequate enough for BIGA and other offices, let's say.
Please wrap them up. Thank you.
Again?
Please wrap up your comment.
Yes, ma'am. Last but not least, I wrote to Director Sobin back on April the 14th. Regarding two council folks, and I have yet to get a written response. And I welcome Tracy Hughes back. She does a splendid job. So, again, if I could get a response from Mr. Sobin.
Mr. Syndrome, what was the date of your letter?
The letter is April the 14th of this year, and it was delivered by hand on April the 27th, two of them.
April 27th and April 14th. Yeah.
Yes, sir. And
wait,
evidently,
both of them were,
you don't have them in hand.
Both of them were delivered on April 27th, but
so
they're dated
get to
April
you
14th.
Again, but, you know, there needs to be action taken. And I have concerns that General Counsel Brian Flowers, in an earlier position, was GC for the council. Now he's with BIGA, but it involves two council folks. And so to avoid the guise of impropriety and to get some, you know, movement on this, I think, as I pointed out, we need some outside independent counsel assigned these matters. Any questions? I'd be delighted to field them at this time, Madam Chair.
Yes. So, Mr. Syndrome, this is Tracy Hughes. I just wanted to address your first two comments concerning notice of the meeting and the receipt of the agenda. Notice of the meeting, as required by the Open Meetings Act, was properly provided 2 days in advance of today's meeting. The Office of Open Government, nor BIGA as an independent entity in and of itself, is statutorily required to do any further outreach other than to publicly and properly notice the agenda online and in the physical location in which a meeting is to be held. While I appreciate your need for BIGA and the Office of Open Government to send you in advance a copy of the agenda, we are not required to do so. As you know, I make every effort to accommodate your attendance at these meetings. But I'm going to have to decline your request to mail those agendas to you, as that is not a requirement. It is a requirement that we make accommodations for the public to attend and inspect public body meetings, and that's indicated by your presence by phone. But we have no obligation beyond that.
If I may, Madam Chair, briefly, I would respectfully indicate a reasonable accommodation, Director Hughes, is to be, if not hard copy, alerted in advance of the meeting to say these will be the respective, you know, agenda items. You and I have a good rapport, and it's just merely a phone call, which is a reasonable accommodation. The hard copy would be preferable, but if you elect not to, and, you know, snail mail may take a day or two longer, but just so that I can be alerted what the agenda items are. I am cybernetically challenged. I don't go online. I do type on the box. So, and I have documented medical conditions that require that special, reasonable, and it is reasonable accommodation. So if you would take that under advisement and govern your actions accordingly, that would be helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Syndrome.
Mr. Syndrome, you can call in and get the agenda, ask someone to read the agenda for you. But I don't think that anyone in this office, which is not so well staffed, an either open government or BEGA office should be calling you with this information, in that you can call in and get it yourself.
I hear you, Councilman Schwartz. The difficulty is sometimes getting through, and as you concede, staffing is sparse, so once again, it's a challenge, you know, to connect. So I'm just saying I'll do what I need to do, but if on your end you can facilitate getting that information, knowledge is power, that would be helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Sindrum.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, any more public comment? Seeing no one here, I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session to discuss ongoing confidential investigations pursuant to DC Code Section 2-575B to deliberate on a decision in which the Ethics Board will exercise quasi-judicial functions pursuant to DC Official Code Section 2-575B13 and personnel matters pursuant to DC Official Code Section 2-57B10.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No, the time is now 10:33. We'll move into executive session.
Can we shut and restart the system? The recording?
Time is 11:21. We are back in public session. We have two matters to report out. In case number 1031-007, in rate by Henderson, the board has found there is reason to believe that a code of conduct violation occurred and that making the matter public will not harm the underlying litigation. The board is also authorized. In case number 1344-007,
thank you, everyone.